The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan's big electric switch. Scrappage is now available on your old car when you switch to a 100% electric Nissan Leaf.
Now, the US President, Donald Trump, seems to be in two minds about encouraging Americans to use postal voting this year. On the one hand, there is a historic health crisis with COVID-19 already threatening to upend the election in more ways than one. And on the other hand, there is concern among some Republicans that encouraging more people to vote more easily will play into the hands of their rivals, the Democrats. Something tells us this one's going to run and run and run. Postal voting, mail-in ballots are going to be a hot topic in the US election over the coming months. Anyway, we luckily have somebody with us to give us some context for all of this. Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at NUI Galway. Thank you for joining us on News Talk, Larry.
Great to be with you, Mac.
Now, can you synopsize the problem that Donald Trump has with postal voting?
I'm not sure I can synopsize the problem he has, but what I can say is that postal voting has been a fact of life in U.S. elections for some time now. I mean, a sizable number of people vote by post, including Americans who live overseas like myself. Donald Trump really is saying here that this is an unreliable or undependable way of voting, that it will perpetuate fraud, and that indeed the Democratic Party will gain via postal voting. In fact, there's no evidence to support either one of the charges that he's making. What I suspect is at play here is an attempt to sow some dissatisfaction, some distrust with the results of the election in the event that it doesn't go his way. Now, as you alluded to in the intro, this has not cut well with some Republicans in the sense that Trump has rolled back already on what he said in the state of Florida, where mail-in voting is used extensively. And Trump has now said that mail-in voting is fine in Florida. It's other places that he has the problem with. So again, I think this is a classic misdirection by the president, because at the end of the day, he's deeply worried about the poll numbers out there.
But hang on a second. He votes by mail himself, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah, he does. And millions of Americans do. And again, the crucial point to make here is that there is almost no evidence of fraud. And even let's go along with the president for a second. Let's play politics here for a minute. There's no evidence whatsoever to support the idea that it will benefit the Democratic Party. So again, what conclusion can you reach from what Trump is saying here, other than that he is trying to sow some sort of uncertainty when the election result comes, if and when it doesn't go his way?
Yeah, you would think in a normal year, in fact, the profile of American voters overseas, being predominantly military, older people, people working in industry and big business, they would, I would think, without generalizing, tend to be more Republican than Democratic voters, surely.
Well, it's a mixed picture. I think traditionally the voters living overseas would have been tended Republican because they were predominantly in the military. But that picture has shifted dramatically. And if you look at people who live outside the United States, they would tend more toward the Democratic side of the aisle. But when we talk about mail-in voting here, we're not really talking in terms of Americans living overseas. They're actually quite a small percentage.
That's thousands rather than millions, obviously.
Yeah, what we're talking about really is people who are voting by post for a whole variety of reasons. Indeed, six U.S. states already only do mail-in voting, with a few exceptions, but six states only do mail-in voting. That's the feature of their elections. And the ballots are sent out to all registered voters. And in those states, there's been almost no instances of fraud or of advantage to one party or the other. So again, it really doesn't make a lot of sense at the end of the day. But what it does mean, Mark, and I think this is the important point, and it's actually bigger than Donald Trump, is in terms of the famed get out the vote operations in the United States, whether that's the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. Now with COVID, the amount of people voting by post is going to increase dramatically. And I don't think this is a feature of 1 year. I think it's going to go on for a long time, so that get out the vote operations have to go on for months, not for 1 day or for a week or so. In fact, they have to go on for a good bit of time. And that's where the effort really has to be on both sides of the aisle. And that's going to change the dynamic of American presidential elections forever. People like me might be sitting in studios on election night, but we might not know the results of elections for weeks to come.
Now, you mentioned a little earlier that Florida has been you know, they're making an exception for that because, of course, the Republicans won there. And this has scared the senior leadership in the GOP. But we know what they think about it. What have the Democrats had to say?
Well, Democrats are broadly speaking, in terms of getting people to vote, they're broadly speaking very supportive of all means of voting, whether it's postal voting, whether it's getting out there. And I think Democrats in particular are concerned about communities of color, where we've seen those images of people waiting in long queues on the date of the election. And that's the point I was making really about get out the vote, is that Democrats have to get on the case in terms of getting people in community, marginalized communities, people with communities where there's lots of people of color, to get to the to open the post, to fill out the ballots, to send them back in. That's not as easy a task as some would envisage in some of those communities. And I think that's why, to some extent, the political strategy here from the Trump campaign, I don't quite get it, because I think Democrats are going to have a serious hurdle to climb. And if we do come back to Florida, you mentioned the word senior. The reason why Trump rode back on, in terms of postal voting in Florida, is a lot of senior citizens in Florida, before the pandemic even, would have been far more comfortable voting by post. And indeed, if we look at the numbers, it's senior citizens, voters over 65, who put Trump over the top in 2016. He's seen an erosion in their support since COVID. He desperately needs them in 2020. And that's why his attempts to ridicule voting by post have backfired spectacularly in Florida. And that's why Florida Republicans said, hey, wait a second here, pal, you got to get your ducks in a row.
Mm. There, one of the laws of unintended consequences comes into play here, too. And one of the reasons, legitimate reason, why there might be concerns about whether the Postal Service could actually cope with an increase in volume. And those concerns are raised by virtue of the fact that there were cutbacks to the service, which were overseen by Mr. Trump's appointed man in charge of the Postal Service.
Yeah, and it's a legitimate point, and I think it's one that's going to be amplified between now and November the 3rd, election days, in terms of cuts back to the Postal Service. They're saying that they needed to make those cuts in terms of, you know, the decrease of snail mail, so to speak. And I suppose objectively, there is a point to that. But in the context of an election year, of course, cutbacks are going to be open to charge. But what the Trump campaign may have going for it on the flip side, however, is in terms of states. And if we look, for instance, at congressional primaries that have happened in New York, where postal voting has been a bigger factor than ever before, they've shown themselves to be totally unequipped to count the votes arriving by mail when they are so used to counting votes on the date of the election by machine. So states, as well as the federal government, are going to have to allocate serious resources to head this off. And indeed, blue states, for instance, in particular, who want to ward off a Trump challenge, whether it's in the courts or elsewhere, they're going to have to put resources there to ensure that the chaos that has indeed ensued in these congressional primaries in New York doesn't follow on in the federal election in November.
Now, Trump came out with this quite a while ago. And of course, opponents and the conspiracy theorists straight away said he's laying the groundwork for objections, for a case to be made that this was a rigged election and that he's not leaving the presidency. It wasn't valid and he's not getting out. Now, senior Republicans like Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell have all said, listen, if the vote comes in and it is not in Mr. Trump's favour, he will, of course, leave as any other defeated candidate would. But how much credence do you give to that conspiracy theory?
To be frank, Mark, and I'll probably get some heat for saying this, to be frank, I don't give an awful lot of credence to it. I think that when the numbers are counted and when things do happen, I do believe that the president will bow to the threats and to the institutional powers that are there, up to and including the United States military. I do not believe the president is going to try to orchestrate some sort of coup. I think he will back down. I think he'll do so quite disgracefully when and if the time comes. But that's my take on things. I wouldn't go along with some of that more conspiracist thinking. But again, the election would have to be pretty close in order for him to have any colorable case in that regard. And at the moment, the polls certainly don't seem to indicate that it will be.
Yeah, I didn't give it much credence either, only because it indicates long-range strategic thinking on his part. And I'm not sure that I don't think he knows what he's going to think or what he's planning to do when he wakes up in the morning. And I suspect if he didn't have a diary and somebody running it for him, it could change dramatically from moment to moment. Do you think, in all seriousness, Larry, that there will be court cases and delays and confusions as a result of mail-in voting come November?
I think there will be for certain. Whether or not it's at the presidential level, that's up for grabs. But certainly when it comes to close run Senate and House races, I think that inevitably that there are going to be court challenges. I think this is going to take weeks, if not months, in some instances to decide. And I think it's all a consequence of the fact that we're living in a very changed world. And I think the political parties, most importantly, regardless of Trump, the political parties need to adapt to this new reality very, very quickly, because we're looking at a change face of American elections, indeed, perhaps global elections for a long time to come in the wake of the pandemic.
Larry Donnelly, a law lecturer with or in NUI in Galway. Thank you so much for joining us here on News Talk.